Amen. Thank God for that. That's a beautiful song and a beautiful truth. I want to go ahead and get into the message tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17. I told pastors I was walking up here, kind of slapped me on the shoulder. You may have seen when I give him my text tonight. I told him this morning after his message that I was going to have to go home and go back to the drawing board. And so he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I was going to preach something very close to what you preached this morning." And so when I gave him my text tonight, he said, "It looks like you stuck with it." And so I did. God wouldn't allow me. I tried to change direction a little bit, but I didn't try too hard because it's been on my heart all week. And so if God's put this on my heart all week and God put it on Pastor's heart, then I believe it's for a reason. And so I'm just going to pick up where we left off last week, and you'll see what I mean as I get into the message. I'll try not to be repeating everything that the pastor said, but I do believe that I'll repeat some of the truths that he brought out this morning. But we started a study last week in the book of Elijah. Well, in the book of Elijah. There I go. In the book of 1 Kings on the life of Elijah. I wonder how many of you would have just went right or right wrong with me, right? We get our teens sometimes play sword drills with the children. We'll tell them, turn to the book of Elijah. And they're, oh, there's no book of Elijah, right? But anyway, we started a study in the life of Elijah last week. And as we started out that series of messages last week, I talked about the days of Elijah. And if I'm honest with you, I told Pastor Brandon after the message Sunday night, and I think preachers always feel this way after they preach most of the time, I felt like I didn't adequately share what God had put on my heart. But I really got hung up talking about the days of Elijah and how bad those days were, and I was trying to apply them to our days. And I believe that there's a lot of similarities, and I won't re-preach that message. But in the process of talking about the days of Elijah, I felt as if I did not get across this point enough last week, and I want to just kind of mention it as I start into my message tonight. But, you know, if we're not careful, and I know I'm this way, maybe not everybody here is this way, but I can be a little bit of a pessimist. I can really look at the glass as being half empty instead of half full. And as we were looking at the life of Elijah last week, I was looking back at the place where Israel was and talking about how that they were divided. They were a nation that was divided. They had desecrated the things of God. They were in decline. And no doubt that could be said about our nation. But I don't think that that's the message of that story. Though there's a lot of truth in that message, I do believe the character of Elijah is actually a message of hope. It's an encouraging message. I was thinking about it. I didn't feel like I gave it enough emphasis last week. You do realize that in the midst of all that was going on in Israel, the fact that they had, I mean, just one wicked king after another wicked king after another wicked king. And I mean, to the point that Ahab and Jezebel were putting up, building up temples to Baal and to Ashtaroth. Talked about how it was similar to our day. You know, Baal was the god, and we'll see tonight a little bit about this, but Baal, they say, was the fertility god, and talked about not only giving life and children, but giving rain and crops. I think we've got some people in our day worshiping Baal. The climate, right? These people that are worshiping, it's Mother Nature, right? So they were living in days very similar to our days, but in the midst of that, while they were yet doing that, The story, the message of Elijah, chapter number 17, verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." If you're not careful, all you'll read in that message right there, all you'll read in that truth right there, as Elijah comes on the scene, is judgment. And God is going to judge Israel. God judges sin. Israel's sin, my sin, America's sin, God judges sin. But can I tell you, in God's judgment, in wrath, there's mercy. Aren't you glad that you know what the fact that Elijah steps on the scene, you know what that tells me? It tells me God still cares. In the midst of all this wickedness, God's not like us. God could have just wrote Israel off. God could have just rained fire and brimstone down on Israel like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. But God did not do that. God sent a man. And yes, God sent a drought. We're going to talk about that tonight. And God sent judgment. But sometimes God's judgment, a lot of times God's judgment, you know, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Sometimes the judgment of God, if we're not careful, we'll look at the judgment of God and we'll think, oh, no, God doesn't care. No, judgment says God does care. I don't want to get far off of my message tonight, but you know, the Bible says, I was doing some studying this week and it was very interesting. The Bible says that Elijah, talking about Elijah in the New Testament, talking about Elijah, says that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. You say, what is that spirit of Elijah? You know, I was doing some studying. I may preach a message on it sometime during these series during this series of messages on Elijah. But you know, the spirit of Elijah, I really believe, was the same spirit that John had, and it was a spirit that was just sold out to God. That's what Elijah was. Elijah was sold out for God. He was jealous for the Lord, right? And so I just wanted to kind of springboard off of last week's message. I didn't feel like I kind of felt like I left on a low note, and I wanted to kind of start out tonight on a high note. Hey, Elijah is a message. God cares. And I don't know about you, but that sure is encouraging to me. As I look at our country and as I look at our world and as I even look at my own life sometimes, I'm glad that God always cares. And Elijah shows that. But tonight I want to kind of go into the next phase of this story. I want to pick up where we left off at last week. And we talked about the days of Elijah, and tonight I want to talk about the drought of Elijah. The drought of Elijah. Or you can say it this way. I use this phrase a lot. I'm going to use drought in my message, but you could say this, the dry spell of Elijah. I can't tell you the times that I've said to my wife or to a close friend, I just feel like I'm in a dry spell. You ever said that or either felt that? I just feel like I'm in a drought. Say, what is that? What is a drought? Maybe there's a young person here tonight. You don't understand what I say when I say that I feel like I'm in a dry spell. I feel like I'm in a drought. What that means is things just aren't very productive. Just doesn't feel like things are being very productive. That's what a drought is. And God sends a drought on Israel. And I want us to look at that tonight in the story of Elijah. And I want us to see this drought, this dry spell that Elijah and Israel are in. And the first thing I want us to see about it is this, the types of drought. The types of drought. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I think we see in the story tonight, they cover every one of them. But you know what? You may find yourself in just one of them. I think this story covers every one of them. But you tonight may not be in all of them, but you may be in one of them. There's different types of droughts in a person's life. There's different types of dry spells in a person's life. And I think we see them all in this story here tonight. The first type of drought that I see in this story is it's a universal drought. Look at verse number one again. It says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You know, James chapter number 5, verse 17 says, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You see, this was a universal drought. It was a universal dry spell, right? It says it rained not on the earth for the space of 3.5 years. Now, that word earth's an interesting word. I looked it up. That word can mean the entire globe, but most people don't believe that's what it means in this passage of Scripture. Because that word, if you look it up in the Greek, it also is a word that can mean an entire region or an entire country. It can mean just universal. I thought about it like this. It can mean an entire church. You know, churches go through dry spells. It can mean an entire country. It could mean an entire state. Therefore, a little bit in June, I thought our state was going through a dry spell. But God sure did send the rain. Thank you for it. Amen. It's wonderful to see all that green out there again. It was starting to get a little yellow, a little brown. It's good to see the green. But a state can go through a dry spell. A family can go through a drought. Just an entire family where you just feel like, you know what? I feel like our family is just, we're just in a drought. Things are not producing like they once were. Things are not going the way they once went. So it could be a worldwide drought. It could be a nationwide drought. It could be a statewide. It could be a countywide. It could be a churchwide. It could be a familywide. It could just be you and being in a drought. I'm talking about different types of droughts, right? They're universal. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. See, none of us are exempt from dry spells. You do understand that. We can all go through them. If you live long enough, and some of the young people that are here tonight, you may not understand what I'm saying now, but one day you will. You're going to feel like you're in a drought. You're going to feel like things have just dried up, like you're no longer producing the way you once were. And so, you see, there can be a universal drought. That's the type of a drought that impacts different people. This story here, we see that this drought here impacted everyone from King Ahab to Elijah to the widow. I mean, it had an impact, right? I mean, on the entire region, possibly the entire world. I don't know. I tend to think it was the entire area in which they were living in. But either way, it was a universal drought. It affected everyone. So number one type of a drought, it can be a universal drought, and that happens. Number two type of drought, and I believe we find it in this story, is an economical drought. Look at verse number 12. Pastor read it to you. It says, "And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." This drought had affected the economy. Now see, some of you thinking right now, that's the drought I'm in, Brother David. I've been in an economical drought for years, right? I don't know that we really know anything of an economical drought in our country, but sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes you feel like you got more going out than coming in. Feel like, man, it's drying up. The bank's drying up, right? The pantry's drying up. The refrigerator is not producing. It can happen. Economically, maybe there's someone here tonight. I'm not minimizing it. Maybe you are going through a difficult time economically. Maybe you feel like you're in a drought when it comes to your finances. You feel like you just, at one time, things were going well, but all of a sudden, maybe something happened at work. Maybe you got demoted. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you bought too many vehicles. I don't know. Maybe you went on too big of a vacation. I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're in a drought economically. No doubt these people did. It was a drought, and it was an economical drought. If you read in chapter number 18, look at verse number 2 real quick. The Bible says in verse number 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. No doubt they were economically in a dry spell. So we see a universal drought, an economical drought. Number 3, I believe you can go through a physical drought. A physical drought. Now, I can't necessarily find that in this passage of scripture. Verse number 17 of chapter 17 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and the sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." Now, the Bible does not say that this was a result of the drought. I don't know. I don't tend to believe that it was. He was living with Elijah. He was being fed. Right, God was meeting his needs, but maybe disease had began to spread because of the drought, because of the famine, and maybe he got sick as a result of that. I don't know, but no doubt, if there was a famine in the land of Samaria, if there was a drought for 3.5 years, you mark it down, there were some people that were sick physically. And you know, you can get in a physical drought. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You ever felt like, man, I went through one a couple months ago. My back just felt like it wouldn't get better. I'd get better, and the next thing you know, I'd be down again. And then I'd get better, and then I'd be down again. And I felt like, is my back going to get better? And there could be somebody here, that's a small one compared to what somebody could be going through. You feel like I'm just in a dry spell physically. My body is hurting. I've been sick and I can't get better. I've got all these issues and I just feel like I'm in a drought. No doubt these people were in a physical drought, and people go through physical droughts in life. There could be someone here tonight. You feel like, I am in a physical drought. I'm in a dry spell. universal drought, an economical drought, a physical drought. Here's one, an emotional drought. Look at verse number 12. It says, "And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me." And look at this. "And my son." If we're not careful, we'll just read that like it's just any other story. But I tried to sit and really think about that. She said, "Me and my son." You're talking about a drought. Talking about a dry place. The emotion that a parent goes through. Brother Pete, I wasn't even thinking about this when I wrote this in my notes, but as I'm preaching right now, a parent loses a child. I don't know that unless you've experienced it, our minds can fathom it. There's some of you here that have lost your child or they're sick, even tonight, as a child is in the hospital. There's just no greater, I don't know that there's a greater emotional grief that a person can go through than what's this woman's going through when she says, "My son." I notice that she says that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She is going through an emotional drought, and no doubt there was many people in this area of the world during this drought that emotionally they were dry. Couldn't imagine. I mean, just thinking about it makes me kind of get dry. I mean, you turn on the news, and if you get on social media, and I keep getting emails. I don't even know how I signed up, Brother Dan. I didn't sign up for this. You probably signed me up. Ever since I filled out something for Brother Dan, I get all these emails. If Brother Dan ever comes to you and asks for your email address, run. But I get these emails from My Patriot Supply. Anybody else get those? Or is that just me? I don't even know where it come from. I didn't sign up. But literally the heading every time is like, "Famine coming. Are you ready?" And I'm like, good night. That'll get your attention. You want somebody to open an email. That's a good way to get their attention, right? Are you ready? And I'm not minimizing it because it may come. I know that one day it's going to come. There is going to be a famine in this world one day. And it could be in this country one day. And I can't imagine the emotion. Just thinking about it tears me up emotionally. These people are going through it. 3 years in a dry spell, nothing producing, no fruit, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. The emotional drought that these people must have been in. And there could be somebody here tonight and you feel like emotionally you're just drained. You feel like I'm in a dry spell. I feel like I'm just emotionally, I'm in a drought. I can't get control of my emotions. It's real. It happens to people. I think this is a little different than later on in Elijah's life. We're probably going to look at the depression in Elijah. We're looking at the drought of Elijah. We're probably going to look at the depression of Elijah. There comes a time in Elijah's life where he gets depressed. Can I tell you, if Elijah could get depressed, so can you. See, if we're not careful, we'll kind of minimize when people are going through things emotionally and they begin to get depressed. But hey, that's a great man of God right there, and he got depressed. And so there could be somebody here tonight, you feel like you're in a drought emotionally, economically, physically, universally. How about this, psychologically? You're in a drought. No doubt, I said it's playing with their emotions, that's their feelings, but I know it was playing with their mind. Sometimes you feel like, man, in my mind, I just feel like I'm in a fog. You ever just felt like I can't think straight. I can't get my mind right. I just feel like I can't focus. Whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's while the preaching's going on, right? Some of you say, I'm in a drought right now. Physically, psychologically, Brother David, I can't stay awake, right? But whether it's at work, whether it's at church, I don't know what area of your life, but if you're not careful mentally, you can become feel like you're in a drought. And I think some of these people, no doubt, as they were going through this famine, they were psychologically, they were in a drought. She thought she was going to die. That'll play with your mind. When you think you might die, get in your head. No doubt this woman was going through a drought psychologically, and I believe others were as well. So we got an economical drought, a physical drought, emotional drought, a psychological drought. How about this, a social drought? Elijah's down by the brook of Cherith by himself. The widow's with her son by themselves. The 50 prophets, well, 100 prophets are hid in a cave, 50 in this cave and 50 in that cave by themselves. And you know, socially, sometimes we can feel like, man, I'm in a drought. I just feel like I'm all alone. I feel like, you know, had nobody. I ain't got with nobody in forever. Nobody ever calls me. I'm not talking about me. Nobody ever texts me. Nobody cares about me. No doubt during this famine, a lot of people were socially distanced. People don't have food. You got to be careful who you allow around you, right? So these people are in a drought, and it's socially. Maybe there's someone here tonight. You feel like you're in a room full of people, but you're all alone. I've heard people say that. I'm in a room full of people, but I'm all alone. You see, you're going through a drought socially. And then last, and I think this is the most important one, how about spiritually? Look at verse number 3. The Bible says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and look at it, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Turn over to chapter 18. And we'll go back to 17 after this. But look at chapter 18. It says, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So obviously, and we looked at this last week, Israel is not just in a physical drought, an emotional drought, a psychological drought, a universal drought, all these other areas, but they are in a spiritual drought. The man of God, Elijah, has come and he's given the message to Ahab, and then God says to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go hide yourself. I don't know that that's not one of the greatest judgments that God could do to a people. I'm afraid it's happening in our country. I hear of the past when men were being called to preach and people were surrendering to God and going to the mission field. Pastors are part of the mission board of BIMI, and they're literally rethinking how to do missions because they say they've got more coming home than going out. What is that? It's a spiritual drought. And you know, that's as a nation. I believe as a nation, America is in a spiritual drought. But you know it can happen as an individual. You ever got to the place spiritually where you just feel like, I'm just in a drought. I'm in a dry spell. I feel like I'm not productive. I feel like I'm not producing. I feel like God's not doing anything. There was a time where I was on fire for God. There was a time when I loved reading my Bible. There was a time when I had a prayer life. There was a time when I was visiting my bus route. There was a time when I used to meditate and spend time on my Sunday school lesson. There was a time when I would sit in church and I was on the edge of my seat and I had a lump in my throat and I was hanging on to every word and I just couldn't wait to get back to the next service. I couldn't wait for the next revival. I couldn't wait for missions conference. There was a time when God was just really moving in my life, but I feel like I'm in a drought spiritually. I feel like I'm in a dry place in my spiritual life. Can I tell you, it happens. If you serve God long enough, if you're saved long enough, there's no doubt in my mind that there's many people in this auditorium tonight that could stand up one after another and say, amen, I've been in that place. Spiritually, I've been in a drought, and I believe that these people were in a drought spiritually. God had taken the prophet and hid him by the brook of Cherith. Jezebel had cut off many of the prophets. The others were hidden in the caves. These people were worshiping Baal, and this nation was in a spiritual drought. And it can happen to a people. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. And so I see different types of droughts here in this story in 1 Kings chapter 17. And now I just want to spend a couple moments, and I'm going to finish my message tonight, with some teachings from a drought. So we saw the types of a drought, right? Many different types of droughts, and some are represented here tonight. Not a doubt in my mind, as I've been preaching, as I've been speaking, that there's some people in this auditorium tonight that you're going through maybe one or more of these droughts in your life. Some areas where you just feel like things have dried up. Well, can I tell you, there's some teaching in 1 Kings chapter 17 that God wants us to know about the drought. And I believe God is teaching Elijah some things in this drought that we can learn from, that we need to know. And this is number one. The first thing that I see that a God is using this drought to teach Elijah is this: God preserves. God preserves. I don't know if that's a help to anybody here tonight, but I can tell you that's a help to me. There's been some times in my life, and if I'm honest, just here recently, I told Pastor Brandon just recently, I said, I feel like I'm just kind of in a drought. I'm in a dry spell. I feel like, I don't know, something isn't right. But can I tell you, I am so glad that when I go through a drought, spiritually speaking, or when I go through a drought in my life, whether it be psychologically, or whether it be emotionally, or whether it any other way that it could be, when I go through a drought in my life as a child of God, I am glad to know that God preserves. God keeps his children. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 17. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says that God said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before thee. I think it's interesting he said, hide thyself. That in itself, God's saying, you know what, Elijah, I'm going to preserve you. God knew that Jezebel was going to try to take out all the prophets of God. I don't know how long after this announcement of Elijah it was before Jezebel. It may have been immediately. It may have been months. They honestly, if they're like most of us, my guess would be this. Elijah came, told Ahab it ain't going to rain for three years. Verse number one, he said, it should not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so I think Elijah probably came to Ahab and told Ahab that. And if Ahab's anything like the people that we preach to, and I don't mean you, but the people that we preach to, you know what Ahab probably did? Whatever. I've heard that before. You think Ahab had never heard that before? God's going to judge Israel. If we keep going down the road we're going, Ahab, God's going to judge Israel. I bet you Ahab had gotten callous to hearing it. Just like many people that you work with. Just like many people that some of you go to school with. Just like many people in our families, when we tell them, if our country don't turn back to God, it's in trouble. They're probably thinking, yeah, I've been hearing that for a long time. I don't think Ahab got too excited when Elijah first preached this message. I can't say that he didn't. I'm kind of reading into the text, but nothing here really says that he did. But I know this. God said, Elijah, I want you to go hide yourself, because here in a couple months when it doesn't rain, maybe they went through that first. I think they said there's two rainy seasons in Israel. There's a spring season. I think March and April it rains. And then there's the latter rain in the fall, maybe September, October. And that was very important to these people. Every 6 months they would get a rain that would help with their crop. Maybe the first season came and Ahab said, oh man, been dry this year. I'm always concerned, if I'm honest with you, every time it starts getting dry around here, I start having those thoughts. Is this the one? Is God going to dry it up? Ahab probably thought, it's just dry this year. Maybe 6 months later, I don't know, maybe he got it the second time, but maybe after another 6 months, the fall rain came, and Ahab said, man,
whew, it's getting crispy out there. You can hear your stuff walk. It's dry. What are we going to do if we don't get some rain soon? It's going to dry up. I don't know how long it took, but at some point, Ahab and Jezebel, I believe, started talking. What did Elijah say? Didn't Elijah say something? I don't know how long it was, but I tend to believe that it was some time between Elijah's declaration and this the beginning of this drought before they really realized what was going on. But when they realized it, the Bible's very clear that Jezebel said, hey, we need to hunt down all the prophets. They even, if you read in chapter 18, we'll get to it in a couple weeks. But in chapter 18, when I think his name's Obadiah comes to Elijah, he says, Ahab sent into every country looking for you, Elijah. He's looked everywhere for you. And so God, in his providence, God knowing the ending from the beginning, already immediately begins to preserve Elijah. Can I tell you, I want to just kind of encourage somebody tonight. I've got just a couple points. I'll be done soon. Listen to me. I want to encourage somebody tonight. You may be going through a dry spell, and you may think, man, I don't feel like I'm ever going to get past this dry spell. It could be that God is trying to preserve you. It could be that God sees something that you don't see, and God is using this drought in your life. God is using this dry place in your life to preserve you. That's what God did for Elijah. He was preserving Elijah. The Bible says in verse number 9, he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Aren't you glad God will sustain you? Look at verse number 16, I believe it is. Look at verse 16. It says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which spake by Elijah. You see, God took care of Elijah. God preserved Elijah. And I'm so glad that when I get dry, when I'm in a drought, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether it's emotionally, whether it's spiritually, whether it's psychologically, I am so glad that I have a God that preserves me. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith. We're kept. You know what that means? We're preserved. God is going to take care of you. If you're in a dry place tonight, I know some of this is a repeat from this morning, but maybe you're in a dry place tonight. You feel like everything's just drying up. Can I tell you, you just hang on. Just hold on, because God's going to preserve you. God's going to take care of you. I started looking at references. I couldn't believe how many times the word preserved is used in the Bible, but I wrote down a couple. In Psalm 16:1, the psalmist said, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Over and over in the Psalms, you know what you'll hear? God is preserving me. God preserves me. God takes care of me. God sustains me. God is he's my hiding place, right? The Bible says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trusteth in him. You see, God preserves his people. I'm so glad about that. There's a time in the Psalms where David said that my feet had well nigh slipped. Was that David? It's one of the Psalms. Yeah. Asaph, yeah, he said my feet had well nigh slipped. He said, I was going down. I was on my way down. But can I tell you, when he was on his way down, there was a God that was hanging on. And when you're in a dry place, and when you're in a drought, and when you think you're not going to make it, you think everything's going to dry up, I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're one of God's children, he's going to preserve you. He's going to take care of you. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for that. I'm so glad God doesn't leave me to myself. I'm so glad in the dry places of my life that God is there hanging on. You hear what I said? I'm not hanging on. He is. I'm so glad it ain't me hanging on, because I'd probably let go, but I'm so glad that he's hanging on to me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I mean, you're in the hand of God. You're talking about being preserved. You're talking about being kept. You're talking about being sustained. If you're a child of God, you're in the hand of God. Amen. What better place could we be? And so God's teaching Elijah, I'm going to preserve you. So number one, teaching from a drought is God preserves. Number two, God provides. God provides. I'm not going to look at all the text of scripture. I don't believe I have to. We read the story. God provides. God says, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath because I'm going to sustain you there. And the Bible says that God gave him water from that brook and gave him ravens, brought him flesh to eat. God will provide in a natural way, and God will provide in a supernatural way. God will do that in our lives. God will send us to work. That's a natural way. But you know, if we keep serving God and we get in a tight place, God will provide in a supernatural way. If you've been saved any amount of time, you've seen God provide in a supernatural way. I can't tell you the times on a Sunday night I've heard people stand up in a testimony service and give some type of testimony, and basically what they said is this: God provided supernaturally. Had no idea how we were going to meet that need, but God did. And can I tell you, God was teaching Elijah, Elijah, I will provide. Where I guide, I will provide. God said, Elijah, now this is important. If God's going to provide, we got to go where he guides. God said, Elijah, go to Cherith, go to the brook of Cherith, eastward of Jordan, and I'm going to take care of you there. I believe with all my heart, if Elijah would have went anywhere else, he wouldn't have got taken care of. Them ravens probably would have been a bunch of meat somewhere beside the Jordan River, because God had already told those ravens, you're going to take care of the man of God when he gets there. And if the man of God wouldn't have got there, those ravens probably would have been dropping meat every morning and every night for nobody. But if we'll do what God says do, God's going to provide. David said, I've been young and I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Can I tell you, God is going to provide. If we go where he guides, he is going to provide. And I love this story. You know what God is doing, teaching Elijah? I really believe that this is God is using this to teach Elijah some things about him. He says God is teaching Elijah. God's teaching Elijah that he preserves, but God is teaching Elijah that he provides. When the brook ran dry, I wonder if Elijah was sitting there thinking, oh man, what am I going to do now? And here comes God. Elijah, go to Zarephath. There's a widow there. Now, that wouldn't mean much in our day, but you got to understand, in their day, you might have had a better chance getting fed by a raven than by a widow. I mean, widows were the poorest of the poor. God tells Elijah, Elijah, go to a widow, and not just that, in Zarephath. I don't really have time to go into it, but you have to know some things about Zarephath. This is right next door to where Jezebel's from. It's in the same vicinity of Jezebel's family, and I could take you in 1 Kings and show you that. So God says, Elijah, I want you to go into enemy territory, and I've got a widow that's going to take care of you. Now, if God hadn't been feeding him with ravens for I don't know how long, he probably would have been a little concerned. But God was showing Elijah something day by day. And can I tell you, God will show us day by day. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. God's not going to show us the ending from the beginning. We just got to take every single day and walk with God and follow God and watch God provide. Step by step, God is showing Elijah, Elijah, I will take care of you. I'll preserve you. I'll provide for you. All throughout this story, God is providing for Elijah. So number one, God preserves. Number two, God provides. Number three, something Elijah learned in the drought. Talking about teachings from a drought. He learned God's powerful. I already kind of hit on that a little bit. I mean, the man's been getting fed by ravens. He goes down to a widow's house and he tells her to take the meal and take the oil. And he said, make me a cake and the meal won't fail and the oil will not waste. He says, or the meal won't waste and the oil will not fail. And God does that miracle, and God shows Elijah, Elijah, I am powerful. And Pastor preached it this morning. You know, there's some things in our lives. I don't know that we would see the power of God the way we need to if we didn't ever go through a dry spell. We learn a whole lot more in the valley than we do on the mountain. I don't want to go in the valley. I'm just being honest with you. I wish I could just stay on the mountain. But God sure does teach us in the valleys. It's in the droughts. It's in the dry places. Well, God reminds us, I love you. I'll take care of you. See, if we're not careful, we'll get big and haughty and think so much of ourselves, we'll think we don't need God. I don't know that Elijah went and stood before the king. And maybe God wanted to do kind of like what he did for Paul when he put a thorn in his flesh. Elijah, in case you get too high on your horse just because I let you go stand before King Ahab and live, let me put you back here on the backside of this wilderness beside a brook by yourself and show you, Elijah, without me, you can't do anything. But God is showing Elijah. God preserves. God provides. God is powerful, holding back the rain. Talking about power. The dew. I mean, all throughout this story, God is showing these people his power. He's holding back the rain. He's feeding Elijah with the ravens. He's sustaining the barrel and the oil. He raises the widow's son. God is showing Elijah, Elijah, I'm powerful. I'll tell you this, God's also showing Elijah, I'm present. I'm present. Pastor mentioned that this morning. I told you I almost didn't preach this message. You see, now you're starting to get why I almost didn't preach it. When Pastor was preaching this morning, I was taking notes this morning because I thought I got to take notes to make sure I don't repeat everything he says. And so I'm sitting there taking notes, and at the bottom of my notes, about 3 or 4 points in, I wrote, I'm going to have to go home and prepare a new message. And I tapped Meredith on the arm. She looked over. I was like, she didn't know what I was talking about, but I'm thinking, man, he's preaching what I'm going to preach tonight. God, in the storms, he's present. Can I tell you, in the drought, he's present? You could be going through a dry spell tonight. God's there. I know when you get in a dry spell, especially spiritually, that's the one that really was on me this week. I'll just be honest with you. When I was preparing this message, I almost didn't even mention the others because that's the one that God was really putting on my heart. Because I know, I've been saved long enough to know, and I believe there's some other people here, and it could be some in this place tonight. You'll go through dry places in your Christian life. You'll go through dry spells where you feel like it's just dried up. You feel like God is not even there anymore. And can I tell you, he's there. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You may not see it. The pastor used to always mention there's a song, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. So, you know, sometimes it's just the way we are. We just don't see him. You go through a dry spell spiritually and you think God's not there. I pray and I feel like I'm talking to the walls. I read my Bible and nothing happens. And my class isn't growing. My bus ride isn't growing. I've quit giving out gospel tracts. I just feel like I'm in a drought. And can I tell you, the whole time, if you'll just look around, God's still providing. God's still preserving. God's still protecting. God's still showing his power. Sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we get in the drought and all we can see is ourselves, and we just got to open our eyes and see. God says, I'm still there. Elijah, I'm still here. And God is showing Elijah. God is telling Elijah, I'm present when you're in a drought, Elijah. And then last, and I believe this may be one of the most important, say the teachings from the drought. God preserves, God provides, God's powerful, God's present. And then last, God's preparing. God is preparing. You know, God told Elijah to go to Zarephath. If you look that word Zarephath up, it's very interesting. That word Zarephath means refinery. Some people say it means crucible. Tracy knows something about the crucible, I think. In the Marines, they have something they call the crucible. They put them through this, it breaks them down mentally, physically, emotionally, all these things I was talking about. The crucible, I read about it one time. The crucible is supposed to bring you to the end of yourself. That word Zarephath, you can look it up. That word Zarephath means crucible. It means refinery. It's the place of fire and pressure. And I just believe with all my heart, God said, Elijah, there's a drought going on. But I want you to know that in this drought, in this dry place, I'm preparing you. Elijah, I've got some big things I want you to do. You're going to go stand on Mount Carmel and you're going to challenge the prophets of Baal. You're going to pray fire down from heaven. If Elijah just knew all the things that God was going to use him to do, but he didn't know that at that time. And can I tell you, you don't know what God's doing in your life. And I don't know what God's doing in my life. But I know this, I've been at this thing long enough to know that he's always got my best interest in mind. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what's happening in my life, if I'm walking with God and if I'm living for God, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. God may just be preparing you. You may feel like you're in a dry spell tonight. You may feel like you're in a drought. You may feel like, man, I just feel like I ain't producing. God may just be preparing you for something big. And so some teachings from the drought. God prepares in the dry places. All right, if you would, you can bow your heads and close your eyes. And I hope that was a help to somebody tonight. I almost didn't preach it, but I'll just be honest with you. God wouldn't let me move away from it. I know what Pastor said this morning. There's some people in our church that are going through some difficult places. And maybe yours is different than some others, but you feel like you're in a drought. You feel like things have just dried up. I've been there. As I said, in some ways, I just recently. But as I've been studying Elijah, God's been reminding me, you just hang in there. I'm holding on to you. You're not holding on to me. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to be present. I'm not going to leave you in your drought. I'm not going to leave you in your dry place. I'm going to stay right beside you. And God may just be saying, I'm trying to prepare you. I've got something big for you. And if you don't learn how to trust me in the dry places, if you don't learn how to trust me in the droughts, you're not going to be able to do it, because life's going to have some dry places. There's going to be some droughts, and God wants to prepare us that when they come, that we can just keep on going. God is teaching Elijah some things in the drought, and I hope God is teaching you if that's where you are tonight. I know God is teaching me.